Big Sean. It's your boy T.I., man.
Hey, what's up? This Jay-Z.
What's up, man? It's your homeboy T-Pain.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Wale.
It's Tiger Young Money Zone.
It's a little homie Plies, baby.
This is Big Snoop Deal Double G.
It's your boy Wiz Khalifa, man.
You know who it is. It's B.O.B.
Hey, yo, this is Eminem.
This is your boy Gucci Mane LaFleur.
Kid 50 Cent.
Hey, what up? It's your boy The Road Music.
What up, y'all? This is J. Cole.
Yeah, what's going on? It's Fat Joe.
Yo, this is your boy Weezy.
Yo, what's up? This is Dr. Dre.
Yo, this is Usher.
It's your boy Drizzy Drake.
Yo, check it out. This is your boy P. Diddy.
You are listening to WFOD, friend to the hip-hop community.
To the Dub Fod, I am Mike. I am joined, of course, by the King of Pranks, the albino. Guys, Travis is here. Hello, Travis.
Hello.
Guys, also joining us.
Hello.
Matt. Hello, hey. Matt. And guys, last but not least, the man who just seconds ago requested that I introduce him last. Mr. Drunkard STL on the Twitters is here.
So, Mike, what's it like to be St. Louis famous? Guys, Mike was on the news today.
More on that in a little bit.
Blurred out face Mike.
Phone number to contact the show is 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype. I was on the news last night, Travis. It was pretty exciting.
It's very exciting.
Guys,
what is it for one of your great many accomplishments?
It was not, Travis.
Did you get one of your bits on the local news?
You know, Matt, those bits, they really work. But no, it was not a bit. More
maybe
on
one
that.
Of your America's new favorite games.
Guys, coming up after the break, we're going to be talking to Michael Starr. He is a biographer. He recently put out a book about William Shatner. We're going to talk to him about that. Drunk, did you see the thing I sent you about they're selling Wienermobiles?
I did.
Now, I
in
feel like
in Canada, so they'll be cheaper.
I believe in my heart of hearts, I thought that there was one Wienermobile. I thought that there was one. Like, you know, there's one Ronald McDonald.
Sure. No, I thought there was three or four of them.
No, there's... which? Ronald McDonald or
no,
the Wienermobiles?
Well,
apparently there's more than one because they're selling off two of them. They're taking up a lot of room in storage, and they said, you know what? Fuck it. Let's get rid of a couple of these Wienermobiles. Selling two of them for 12...
So these are actual used Wienermobiles.
It
these
is,
aren't like...
Yeah, like the Wienermobile.
Like post-convert kits that you can turn any like Chevy Cavalier from 1990 into a Wienermobile?
I don't believe so. They look
because you know
legit.
You know you can turn any older vehicle into a 1989 Batman Batmobile, right?
Yeah, but how are you going to make it into a Wienermobile, Travis? See, the two Wienermobiles were right next to a Planters peanut truck. Which leads me to believe that they're probably...
That and I've seen a Wienermobile, and like you sit pretty far up in the wiener for it to be any
old
car. Old
sons of bitches. Now, the price tag on these, Travis, was $12,000 Canadian.
And they were super reasonable.
They were selling two of them.
Which breaks down to about $8,900 American.
We could probably invest in these two Wienermobiles and figure out a way to monetize that, right? You could go from town to town and have Wienermobile races. You take people for rides in them or something?
And scratch out Oscar Mayer and put Dub Fod on the side?
Travis, Wienermobile hustling could be our new life.
Yeah, I feel like you could go to any town that has, like, maybe, like, Johnsonville Bratz, right, in Wisconsin. I feel like you could just rebrand that Wienermobile into a Johnsonville Bratmobile and, like, have Johnsonville pay you a little money to drive around town. I feel like you could go from region to region selling the side of the Wienermobile.
So usually I poo-poo most of Mike's ideas, but I actually love this one.
Charles, you go down to the Lake of the Ozarks.
This one I can't get enough of.
They'll take you on a helicopter ride for like $75.
Sure.
And like you just kind of go around the lake a little bit. You say, oh, look at the trees. Then you land and then you give them $75 cash. They stick that in their pocket. I mean, helicopter fuel is probably way more expensive than like regular fuel. Or you think the Wienermobile takes diesel?
Either way, I mean, it's not that expensive.
Well, no, and diesel's a little bit more expensive than gasoline at this time, but it's way more like, it's got more fuel economy behind it.
Travis, how long? Okay, now these Wienermobiles, apparently.
This time of year, we could take you and your prom date to prom in the Wienermobile.
Oh, imagine pulling up to the high school
God
prom
drunk.
Wienermobile.
Fuck a limo.
These Wienermobiles only have 40,000 miles on them, Travis. I mean, they're lightly used. I wonder how often these Wienermobiles... I guess they probably have a vested interest in ensuring that, like, you don't have Wienermobiles broken down on the side of the road. That's probably a bad look.
Right.
Does it? Well, it's just like the many times I've seen, like, a progressive SUV, progressive insurance SUV busted down on the side of the road. It's like, yeah.
I wonder if Oscar Mayer, if there's some kind of caveat involved where Oscar Mayer says, you got to take our branding off of it.
But even like, if you take their branding off of it, everybody knows what it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's an Oscar Mayer Wienermobile. But I wonder if they do that, because they probably don't want you just going around representing them.
Why not? Free advertisement.
There's a lot of empty space. Well,
what if you waggle your dicks at them or something, you know?
There's like got to be a lot of empty space in a Wienermobile, right? Like, how many people can you transport in one of these things?
Is it
just like a two-person
open
thing?
So I only saw the cab part.
Matt, you and your daughters, you go on family outings and stuff. I mean, if you saw in the Facebook events tab that someone clicked interested on a trip to go see two Wienermobiles race, you'd take the girls down there, get a funnel cake, watch the Wienermobiles race, wouldn't you?
I think I would.
Yeah, that's four people. What do we charge $10 at the door drunk? We just made $40. We're going to make back this $8,000 in no time.
I don't disagree with you on this one. Usually I like to be the person that poo-poos your ideas, but no, this one, I'm all aboard, man.
It could just become our life, drunk. See, what we've been doing all this time is the wrong thing. We need a big swing. You know what I'm saying?
You know, this is kind of silly, but when I was in grade school, like, you know how they tell what's your dream job? My dream job was to drive the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile.
We could be fulfilling Drunk's dream here for a low price of $9,000.
Travis, we get these Wienermobiles. We paid Drunk some shitty wage to just drive it around, right? We profit. We don't even have to do anything. We just.
How much are you thinking? $8 an hour?
Well, I mean, it's his dream job. He'll do it cheap. He just told us. What are we going to highball him now?
Well, yeah, he's got no leverage at this point.
Right. What's his leverage?
What is his leverage?
No leverage. He wants to get behind the wheel of one of those Wienermobiles.
You have nobody else to do this for you?
I mean, we could probably get some schlub to do it, but we got you, and it's your dream job. How many people's dream job is to drive the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile?
Well, I said it was. It's not. I wouldn't say it's.
Then again,
currently,
if we go employing all of the people whose dream it is to drive the Wienermobile, then who's going to like pay us to drive the Wienermobile? We're paying them. What are we, fools?
Oh, listen, nobody's going to be driving this thing. They can ride in the passenger seat. We will take them to prom. We will go bar hopping for their like pre-wedding thing, whatever they want to do. But nobody's getting behind the wheel of these things. There's insurance to think about.
Travis, I had another idea. See, I had a problem today because I fell into one of those YouTube black holes where, like, you're on, like, your 12th video
How do you guys do this? I constantly am hearing people fall into YouTube holes, and I've never experienced this.
Travis, what happened was I ended up watching an African-American gentleman reviewing Rockstar energy drink that tastes like marshmallows.
Oh, the Xdurance marshmallow.
And he was saying, oh, man, it's kind of weird. It tastes like marshmallows. I'm driving around today. I had to run some errands.
So did you get us one to try on the Dove Pod?
I'm thinking, you know what? I'm going to go down the energy drink aisle. I'm going to see if they got this marshmallow energy drink. I'm curious. Does it really taste like marshmallows, Drunk? I had to know.
Usually you make me test these kinds of things.
So what happened was they didn't have it.
Nothing ever good ever started with what had happened was.
At the Walmart. They didn't have it. And so then I was passing a Target, went to Target. Target didn't have it.
Two of the
most gotta go to a convenience store.
I was about to say,
buddy.
Two of the most retarded places for you to go try to find this.
Yeah, you gotta go to some like rando, like new American
gas owned station,
convenience store.
Went to Dollar General, who does, surprisingly, have a large selection of energy drinks, does not have marshmallow Rockstar energy drink. So
why didn't you look it up on the internet to see where you could find
what
it?
What I noticed.
You have a Googler in your pocket.
At all of these stores is that they all have like this strange smattering of energy drink. Have you seen the world lately, Drunk? Everyone is drinking one of these goddamn energy drinks.
I do want to try the Coke energy drink.
It tastes like Coke.
I've figured.
Yeah, it tastes like they just charged you extra for a Coke.
Right? What is the deal with these energy drinks?
So everyone's drinking these energy drinks. Everybody probably has their favorites.
Drinking bull testicles.
You can't ever get them in bulk. Like some people have.
Yeah, you can.
Some people have 4-packs. Some people have 8-packs or whatever. But like they just have a couple flavors, and they're never the same flavors. They don't have the weird flavors for sure in cases. And they have all these choices.
It's called Sam's or Costco.
Drunk. What we need.
You go to a nice grocery store that's got a 10 for $10 deal on it, and you buy as many as you want for a buck a pop.
Is we just need to have all of them in a central location where you can buy them in bulk, where you can buy the weird ones that may not be. Like, I was at the Menards today. And they had a weird monster that was like a white tea. I'd never seen that anywhere before. They have this white tea one, and I'm like, I'm going to try that.
So are we peddling these out? Ooh.
You got to go to Dollar Tree and then get the Rip It, right? The Rip It energy drinks
so
that they carry?
Everybody loves food trucks. Can we convert the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile into a food truck?
Maybe. What are we selling hot dogs?
And we'll also carry all the weird energy drinks that you've always wanted to try.
Any tubular meat, really, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, bring a little bit of all the different energy drinks. See, but a little bit isn't what I'm in the business for, Travis. I want to have all of them so that, like, if anyone is in the same situation where as I am, where they see a African-American gentleman reviewing.
So just right off the bat, you want to buy 24 marshmallow energy
drinks? No, but I feel like if you ran a business, it would fail quickly. You don't want to have that much inventory just in case somebody might want to buy it.
No, but see, everybody wants to buy. You see them everywhere, Travis, but everyone just goes somewhere and gets a few of what they have. What if I told you I have all of them? So if you need to stock up for the week, if you need to stock up for the month, come here. If you have a favorite, I got them in bulk. You don't have to buy twosies at $2 a piece. I guess it's not a twosie if it's $2 a piece. You know what I'm saying. They're all $2 unless you find a grocery store that
has... How many people do you know that buy in bulk, Mike?
They don't buy in bulk because it's not available.
I don't believe that for a second.
But if I go to the store and I'm going to get like enough energy drinks so that I can have one every month. Matt, do you drink the energy drinks?
Monster Energy is my go-to. I usually grab the Zero variety, which they just came out with two new flavors. But they also have that ginger brew flavor. monster, it's not a zero.
See, I'm not familiar with the ginger brew, Matt, but we'll have all of them. It's hard to find the kinds you want at like just anywhere, right? They all have different ones.
Don't get too attached to something that's ginger, because the public at large is not going to be into that. So if I were you, I'd stock up, because I almost guarantee you they'll discontinue
that. That's what I heard about pumpkin too, Travis. I heard maple was the new hotness, but every goddamn October I see tons and tons of pumpkin. It's so hot right now.
So hot right now.
So yeah, you want your ginger one, and you go to a grocery store, they don't have it. You think, fuck, I need to go to Mike's Energy Warehouse and stock up. Because he's got all of them. I don't have to go to four different stores to try to find.
I don't think this is a good.
Yeah, I don't know how popular just an energy beverage store would be. Just because, like, there's, you know, everybody kind of goes into a convenience store with the everything else in mind as well. You're going to get, like, you know, a fucking hot dog. So unless you're selling hot dogs, too, but then you might as well become a gas station.
Right.
Maybe the Wienermobile could be a traveling convenience store / refueling station.
Not a bad idea.
Isn't the gas stations really just, you know what, Travis? You know what I would kill for? Is like if you could just go through a drive-thru that sold nothing but icy cold beverages. Like just a beverage drive-thru. Like that was what they expected. You just pulled up and you said, hey, give me a 32-ounce Coke. And like they just gave you a Coke.
Another bad business bottle.
Why?
Yeah, I agree.
All these places make their money on their soda. Syrup costs nothing.
Well, yeah, soda is definitely something that you're, oh man, I want this. But I always think if I'm going to get an ice cold soda, I have something to accompany it with.
Do you have any idea how many times I've been driving home and said, I just want a soda.
I might as well get a Big Mac at McDonald's too.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you know, you don't want to like go through the drive-thru and just get a soda, and you don't want to walk into a gas station.
Exactly. I don't want to go through a drive-thru and just get a soda.
But I would if that was just what they sold.
But you could do that.
Do you realize how many customers a day you'd get to turn a profit on that?
Not many. You're selling syrup and ice cubes.
Okay.
There is a fuck ton of profit in fountain soda.
I get it, but you're going to have to do at least...
The money's in the banana stand, you're drunk.
And how much are you charging for a 44-ouncer here?
I don't know. Less than
Arby's. Let's just call it $1.19.
Okay.
You're going to need...
Okay, let's just call it $1.90.
You're going to need at least 12 people an hour to go through just to pay for the person.
You don't think I'm going
to
sell 12 sodas in an hour drunk?
No.
You crazy? I'm selling them for $1.19.
All you have is soda.
What do you think the number one thing Quick Trip sells is?
Bananas. It's
the Big Q fountain drink.
I get that, but that's because... People go in
because they also have
cigarettes. Why are we even selling other stuff, Matt?
Because they also have cigarettes and they also have hot dogs.
Get a soda. Oh, look, there's a taquito on the fucking hot roller. Let me grab one of those.
Oh, and the slice of pizza. Yum.
Yeah, but then you got to pay a guy to make taquitos. Then you got to pay a guy to. I'm just talking about one guy filling up sodas.
The power button on a microwave?
Yeah, the guy that empties the trash at every fucking. Little gas dispenser, whatever the pump. That's the same guy that throws the fucking taquitos on the hot roller.
We got all the sodas.
You go to a Wisconsin Quick Trip.
Yeah.
Quick start K. They have they employ kitchen employees.
We got that new Dr. Pepper cream soda. Why the fuck are they doing that? But you know what? For $1.19, I'll try it.
You remember?
Put the bougie ice in it. You know what I'm talking about. The little crushy ice.
That crushed stuff?
Yeah. That's all we got, Travis. All we got is bougie ice.
Mm.
You can go to McDonald's and get shitty ass ice cubes? Fuck that.
That's good for dumping whiskey.
If you are only doing soda, don't you think it'd be better to have an option?
No.
Only fries and soda. That's all you
speaking of which, Travis, did you see that Dunkin' Donuts is selling bags of bacon now? Dunkin' Donuts is like, fuck it. Mike's got good ideas. Yeah. Let's just sell some bacon in a bag.
Yeah, but guess what else they sell?
You want a bacon snack?
Coffee, donuts.
Well, that's what they figure. Hey, you're coming in for bagels, this delicious coffee that everybody loves. Croissants. Get a bag of bacon.
I'm ahead of my time, is what I am.
Does anybody else think Dunkin' Donuts donuts suck?
Yeah, no, that's why they changed their name to just Dunkin'.
They're the worst.
They're shit.
They don't want you to even think about their donuts because their donuts are trash.
Is good.
Coffee's good, absolutely.
The coffee is good when it's good. And I will always say this: the biggest problem with a fucking Dunkin' Donuts is consistency. Like,
oh yeah,
you rarely ever get that great cup of coffee. Most of the time, it's stale or it's burnt or it's whatever. Like when they, oh, can I get a iced coffee with cream and sugar? And then there's too much sugar, or there's too much cream, or not enough.
You got to get there immediately. When that first dipshit, he doesn't even have his eyes open and he just pressed the button on that fucking coffee machine. That's when you got to get your coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you get the cold brew, that's 12 hour old anyway, so.
Yeah, I mean, the cold brew is the only thing that is on the consistent side.
You need to change their name to Coffin.
So really what you need is you need to know somebody who works at Dunkin' and say, hey, why don't you text me when you're making a fresh pot of fucking coffee?
You know, it's not even when it's a fresh pot, because I think the way that they make it is different, too. Like, I think, oh,
and from location to location,
three scoops, right, instead of...
God, I tell you what,
I got
really
three different Dunkins in my area, and I can't ever get a consistent tasting cup of coffee.
I really...
Dunkin' Donuts consistency is
usually pretty good.
The Dunkin' Donuts that I go to on the Rock Road... It's an Indian lady, and they're always out of whatever I order.
She drives me up a tree, dude.
She goes, no, we have no pumpkin. I was like, okay.
I asked for an energy cold brew, and she never puts my shot of espresso in there.
No, we have no croissants. Oh, okay.
I will say that Joe and I were on a road trip once, and we stopped at a Dunkin' in Virginia, and it didn't have a drive-through, and it had like this, 40-year-old sign, and it was the best Dunkin' I've ever had.
Yeah, best one ever. I ever had was on the way back from Nashville. It was like we stopped for the night a little bit outside of Nashville, and like first thing in the morning, we got in the car and started driving. We stopped at a Dunkin'. Man, that motherfucker made the fuck out of my coffee.
That was
the best coffee I ever had, Matt, and I'll never have it again.
The best Dunkin' I had was in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Yep.
See?
It's not so bad. You're only the best I ever had.
Can I tell?
Yeah, keep going.
Can I update you guys on the Super Tuesday results?
Yes, please.
The Democrats are winning in each state.
Oh, thank God.
Aren't they the only ones running, Matt?
I was worried the Republicans were going to take this over.
Democrats are winning in every state so far. In Texas, in Massachusetts, North Carolina, and Atlanta. I know that we were kind of concerned.
Are you talking about
who was going to take that?
Are you talking about because they megazorded? Is that what you're talking about, Matt?
No, Democrats are winning. I'm just letting you know that.
Oh, thank
that's
you.
All.
Just as a soothsayer, it doesn't matter because Trump will be reelected.
Ooh.
Mark my words.
Democrats are winning. So
Mark them down.
You think either of the doddering old fools that have a chance of winning are going to run through the buzzsaw? Travis, is that what you think?
Creepy Uncle Joe will be out, and blathering old man Bernie will be out. I think Elizabeth Warren, even if she would even get some delegates, Trump will be a president again for another 4 years.
I would think Bloomberg's the only one that's got a chance. Right?
Bloomberg would have a chance if people could rally behind him, but nobody is.
I get so much mail from him, Travis.
There's so much infighting in that party right now.
There's so much mail. I don't like mail. I just walk it straight to the trash, Mike. Stop sending it to me. I don't want it.
I have literally gotten, and I don't know if it's because I'm in Wisconsin, but I think this is like a battleground state because of what happened in 2016, I have gotten literally zero campaign pieces of mail.
I got two from Bloomberg and one from Elizabeth Warren today.
Well, it's because they know elections are next week.
Drunk, we're going to take a break. Let's take a break. We'll be back. We're going to talk to Michael Starr about his book.
Your podcast will fail.
haven't stopped, I've told you dozens of times. You leave it in there like an evil surprise. Just flush it down. Down, 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 down. Woo-hoo-hoo. Brown or gold, you gotta flush the commode. Just flush it down. Just flush them down. Your dukes, just flush them down. Your dukes, just flush them down. Your dukes, just flush them down.
WFOD!
Looking for the perfect gift for your young ones? Look no further. Dixco presents the Mike Moore doll. This 10-inch hero will complement the collection of kids young or old.
I keep it in the box so it retains its value. Hashtag Team Mike.
You can pose him. You can move his mouth. Or you can dress him up in lady clothes. It's your doll. We aren't going to tell you how to use it.
His narcissism is so lifelike.
The Mike Moore doll even includes three classic Mike saves.
We have a great show tonight, guys. I like feet. Eat lead, Cobra.
Don't miss your opportunity to own a mic of your own. Go to WFODix.com and get one today. Supplies are limited. Act now.
And now we pause to let the other stations catch up.
This is Strange Label, the best in internet radio.
Mr. Spock, my friend, we've got to do something.
Why do you say we, Caucasoid? It's obvious, Captain, that Minister Farrakhan is right.
Spock, are you out of your falcon mind?
Once again, WFOD. Wheelbarrow full of dicks.
Guys, our guest tonight is a biographer who has written many a books on celebrities like Bobby Darin, Red Fox, and Ringo Starr. His latest is Shatner, in bookstores now. Michael Starr is on the program. Michael, are you there, buddy?
I'm here, Mike. How are you?
Oh, doing pretty good, Michael. The book is out. Are you already working on another one, or?
No, I'm not. I have some ideas, but you know, it's always sometimes it takes a while. It's a long process to try to sell an idea to a publisher, and even if they've published other books that you know that an author has written, sometimes it's not so easy. You got to convince them. So yeah, no, I'm there will be another book. I just don't know who it's going
to
be.
Is your process kind of to pick people that you're a fan of, or do you just kind of look for people who haven't been done yet?
It's a little bit of both. It's you know it's I think when you, any biographer who's going to pick a subject to write about, you have to be a little bit of a fan, because you're going to be spending a lot of time with this person, you know, researching their life and watching their movies and TV shows and reading all their interviews and or as many as you can. I do try to find people who haven't been written about before, or if they have been written about before, it's been a long time. William Shatner, I mean, he's written a lot of his own books and a few memoirs. And there really hasn't been a book about him, a comprehensive biography taking a look at his life from his birth in Montreal up until present day. This is the first one, as far as I know.
And did you find out why, you think? Because it sounds like he wasn't a big fan. He didn't participate in your book, and he didn't really like it too much.
No, you know, he didn't participate, and it's not unusual, I think, if you're writing a biography that is quote unquote unauthorized, and all that means is that the subject you're writing about has not participated. It sort of carries this very negative connotation, but it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. I did interview Shatner for the New York Post, which is where I covered television, about 10 years ago. He had a really good talk show on the Bio Channel called Raw Nerve with William Shatner. It was like he interviewed a celebrity guest. They sat on like this S-shaped couch, and he asked very probing
questions.
Didn't
he like hide behind a bookcase or something? Wasn't like the stage design really weird or something? I feel like I remember that, but...
It was, they sat on this, it was strange in the sense that they sat on this very, this S-shaped couch where he would sit on one indentation of the couch and the other guest would sit on the other, and they were sort of facing each other. It was like an airline, like a first-class airline seat or something. It was kind of weird.
Yeah.
But anyway, I did interview him for that, for the paper, excuse me, but when I approached him about doing this book, you know, a guy like him, you have to go through several layers of people, and they basically told me that he was unavailable because he had a quote-unquote overcommitted production schedule, which was just a nice way of saying he's not going to cooperate.
Right.
Bug off.
He's got a lot of prize line commercials to do.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been worse. I mean, and I've had people be nastier to me than that. So,
who was nastier to you, Michael?
Well, actually, you know, I don't know if you mentioned this introduction. One of the guys I wrote about was Joey Bishop from the Rat Pack.
No.
Now, I knew Joey personally, and I went out to California. I was out there on business, and I spent an afternoon with him, which was like a week in real time, because he was the miserable guy. But when I told, and, you know, it was after that, and he and I had spoken about doing a book together, and it was after that, when I got home from that trip, I just said to myself, you know, I want to do the book, but I cannot work with him. There's no way. So when I told him that I was going to do the book without him, he was pretty nasty. But, you know, live and learn.
When you say that he was pretty nasty, like he just wrote you a stern letter?
No, we spoke on the phone.
Yeah.
Which is when we had spoken on the phone many times before that. And then I went out, like, as I mentioned, I went out and I spent the day with him in his place in Newport Beach, California. And he basically said, you know, what do you know about me? You know, what could you possibly know? You know, he was not the nicest guy anyway.
Yeah.
You know, he could be a sweetheart, but you had to catch him on a good day. And he was a lot older by that time.
So even with the negativity, you still went ahead and were like, oh, no, I'm doing this.
Yeah. I forged ahead, and, probably one of my least favorite books, though, to be honest with you, just because it was, I don't know, for many reasons. So I had that experience. I wrote a book about Art Carney, got over 20 years ago now. He wasn't nasty. As a matter of fact, I didn't hear from him. I heard from his wife, who called me at home one day and said, you know, you can go ahead and write this book, but, you know, I can tell you right now, he's not going to talk to you. He's a very private man. And she was perfectly nice about it.
And
he was a nice man. So I would have been shocked that his wife had been really nasty. But I went ahead and I wrote that book, and that was, I had a I had a fun time doing that. He was an interesting guy, and I got a lot of people to talk about him because he was a beloved man in the show business community, and he had overcome a severe alcohol problem and a lot of depression, and he won an Oscar, and he was a beloved figure. So I think that colors the perception a little bit. William Shatner is not beloved. I mean, I did interview a lot of people who like him very much, but also people who were not so crazy about him.
Like people that have worked with him.
He's an eccentric individual.
Yeah, I think that he kind of has a reputation as being hard to work with.
I've heard with William Shatner a lot of times with even just like convention appearances, because that's, I think, his bread and butter now for the most part, is that he's not like an accommodating convention guest, right? Like they're paying him a lot of money to be there. People are paying an exorbitant amount of money to just get like a signature from him. And he just kind of like pops up if he feels like it, right? Like he's supposed to be in these signing areas at certain times. And if, you know, if he shows up, he shows up. If he doesn't, he doesn't. And it just seems like he's kind of at that point in his career where, like you said, with like Joey Bishop and things, where at one point these people were at the top of their game and were superstars. And now we're kind of just riding on their name that feel like they, hey, I still have that power. I can kind of do what I want and you're going to abide by it because, like, you know, I'm William Shatner.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good point. And I mean, he does run hot and cold and he does still show up for signings and Star Trek conventions and all that. And I think you can speak to 50 people who will tell you that he was great and 50 people who will tell you that he was an a-hole.
when he's on, he's on. Like when, you know, when he's doing, what was that show that he didn't, Mike, what was that show that he was doing with like Terry Bradshaw?
Better Late Than Never.
Yeah. Like when he's on, he can be a very endearing. And even when he's crotchety in shows like that, it's like an endearing, like, look at grandpa kind of acting kind of dickish or whatever. But it just like it works, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, let's face it. He's going to be 89 this month. I mean, you know, he's getting up there. And when the book came out, I had done a TV show here in New York City. And before we went on the air, one of the co-hosts said to me, you know, I've interviewed him before. And I said, well, which Shatner did you get? And she said, I interviewed him twice. I got the bad Shatner the first time and I got the good Shatner the second time. So it's like, it's almost like it depends, you know, which way the wind is blowing with him.
Have you had good experiences though? Like you've written a lot of biographies. Have like you had complete cooperation from anybody you've written about, like where you've had interviews and stories directly from them, or when they are cooperative, is it mostly just like a Godspeed, go, you know, go with God and do your thing?
Yeah, it's the latter. I'm still waiting for that. I'm still waiting for that book to come along where I work with, you know, somebody says, you know, I'm going to give you carte blanche. I'm just going to sit down. You ask me whatever questions you want. I'm not going to read the final manuscript and, you know, make corrections. I haven't had that.
Carte blanche to write my biography.
Yeah.
Everybody's clamoring for that, Matt.
Yeah. Go ahead. Ask me anything you want, but go ahead.
I get that low three-figure deal, the $250 contract. No, but like when I did this Ringo Starr biography, I mean, he went on to, I reached out, I didn't hear anything. This went on for months. And then one day, out of the blue, he posted a message on his Facebook page and his Twitter account basically saying, there's somebody named Michael Starr writing this book about me. I don't know him. I'm not cooperating. You know, peace and love. Now, he might have felt it was weird because we have the same last name and maybe I was like some kind of weird stalker dude or something, but I mean, I'm not.
That's a good end.
It was a coincidence that we had the same last name, but he didn't stop people from talking to me. I mean, a couple people he did, but for the most part, some people just don't care. They don't.
Did he stop Paul McCartney from talking to you?
Well, I didn't get Paul. That would have been that would have been great. That was a long shot. But I spoke to people, you know, and a couple people in the Beatles inner circle, and other people just don't care. Like they say, oh, he said that? I don't care. Here's my story about him. Or, right. So it all depends.
Mike, how did this become your thing? How did getting into writing biographies be the thing that you wanted to do?
Well, I started out, the first book I did, I was a huge Peter Sellers fan. And this was about 10 years after he had passed away. I was such a fan of his movies, and I just started writing. I'd seen there, nobody had ever written a book about his movies. So I figured, oh, what the heck, you know, I'll try. And I got a publisher interested, and I basically wrote, that book was more of a sort of like a cinema biography. Like I wrote about all his movies, and I injected some biographical information in there. It wasn't a strict biography, but that kind of whet my appetite. And then I had read a really great book about, I'm a huge Honeymooners fan, Jackie Gleason and Art Carney, of course, from the 50s. And I had read a great book about Jackie Gleason. And I said to myself, you know what? Nobody's ever written about Art Carney. I mean, he was a guy who was just as funny as Gleason and won several Emmy Awards for that show, which Gleason never did. And I was sort of attracted to his demeanor, which was always, you know, he never called attention to himself, and he was kind of a loner kind of guy, but he was brilliant and a brilliant comic and a terrific actor who ended up winning an Oscar. So that was like my first straight ahead biography. And then it just, you know, led to other books and other people that I was interested in. And I don't know, to me, it's always more interesting to find somebody who hasn't been written. Like people always say to me, or people say, you know, why don't you write about Marilyn Monroe or James Dean, or, you know, how many more books can you write about?
Oh, sure. People? I mean, yeah.
Everything's been picked over. I mean, even to an extent, I would say a little bit with Ringo, but nobody had ever written a book about him himself. I mean, you know, he'd been included in all the other books, obviously, about Paul McCartney and John Lennon and George Harrison and the Beatles as a whole, but nobody had ever devoted a book just to Ringo. So I just found that it interests me to sort of find out information about these people who are so well known in one way, but so unknown in another way. I mean, Ringo, yeah, we knew about his life as a Beatle, but not so much about his growing up in Liverpool before that, and not so much about the wilderness years after the band broke up, and he went through a phase of alcoholism, and he was thinking about suicide, and his career was went out of control, and he was drinking, and so I found all that very interesting.
I'm a huge, like, I read a lot of biographies and autobiographies and things too, and it's like it's fun to be able to, when you're a real fan of somebody or something, to like to go beyond the Wikipedia entries, you know, like you can get quick information about people and things, I really do, you know, with certain people, like to do that deep dive. But do you feel like when you're done with one of these books, are you burnt out on that person? Like, can you just, like, you know, are you like, I can't deal, I don't want anything more to do with this person for entertainment or research or anything? Like, are you just like burnt
yes.
out?
Yes. Yeah. No. You know, you're absolutely right. I mean, other than talking about them, like I'm doing with you guys, which I love to do, but yeah, it's like I can't read another interview. I don't want to see any more. People still email me, you know, hey, Shatner was in the Montreal Gazette talking about his new, you know, sir. I don't want to read it.
You don't care.
I wrote a 300-400 page book about this guy. I want no more to do with him.
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting because sometimes I'll get like an email through my website of somebody asking me a question about, you know, Art Carney or Raymond Burr, who I wrote about. I don't, you know, those books were years ago already. So I don't mind going back and saying, oh yeah, yeah, it was a lot of fun. And here's what I learned about, you know, Raymond Burr or Bobby Darin.
Well, I guess since you have a published work out there, you kind of become a source for other people's research. So.
Right, particularly if the person hasn't been written about yet. I mean, like, let's say Marilyn. If I wrote a book about Marilyn Monroe, you know, there are at least 50 books out about her. I mean, right. So my book that came out in 2020 would probably not be referenced anywhere unless I found some kind of startling new information. I mean, I'm sure there is something out there about her or JFK or James Dean or, you know, whoever. That's why it's a challenge. I mean, for me, and I guess a challenge to me as a writer to get people interested in figures. I mean, listen, William Shatner. Yes, he's obviously a big celebrity, well known. But everybody always thinks, okay, well, yeah, we're Will Shatner, Star Trek. Okay, yes, and that's probably going to go in his, that'll be the first line in his obituary one day that
sure,
he starred,
yeah.
That he was one of those, he was Captain James T. Kirk.
But, line number two is T.J. Hooker, baby.
That's right. See, you remember, there you go, T.J. Hooker, and Barbary Coast was another one of his shows.
Denny Crane, Travis, Denny Crane.
Yeah, see, Denny Crane, right. Well, he won two Emmys for Boston Legal. But I think
he was a Pokemon on that show. He just said his own name. That was pretty much his only line. Is
Denny Crane.
Just said Denny Crane.
Denny Crane. Denny Crane.
I'm here.
But when you,
I'm here.
So, yeah, he's had quite a career. I mean, you know, he's going to be, well, he'll be 89 this month and still going. I mean, the guy just doesn't slow down.
Right.
I think he's got a fear of slowing down. He said this before, that as long as he has jobs booked and he keeps on working, he can sort of stave off the inevitable end, you know, which is going to come eventually, but he keeps himself busy and it seems to work for him. He's in good shape. He seems to be very physically healthy. He, right after the book came out, he announced he was divorcing wife number four, so he's in the market. Ladies.
What a good age to be divorcing people.
I know, you know, and I don't, you know, his wife, his fourth wife, Elizabeth, who he's divorcing, they've been married for, you know, over 20 years or nearly 20 years, and I've never heard anything that there was any trouble in paradise with them, but, you know, I mean, who knows? You never really know, but maybe they did have a prenup, I read, so I guess he protected himself in that way.
You just figure that with the money that he's probably got, and at that age, he would just like be like, all right, we have a guest house in the back lawn, you know, I'll go back there, and
right.
We'll share the kitchen or some shit. Like, you wouldn't think you'd go through all the trouble of getting a divorce at that point.
I know. Well, you know, who knows what really happened there, but... You know, I know. You would think that, and you know, why go through all the trouble of putting out a public announcement and then legal fees and all that kind of stuff. But you know, and we were talking before about what people might not remember. I mean, talking about his wives, his third wife Noreen, who tragically died. She drowned in their pool in the backyard in the late 90s, she was an alcoholic and she had a problem with pills, and he came home and found her floating in the pool. I mean, it's the guy's been through like the different cycles of his career. It's up and down and up and down and up and down. And it's been up for the most part for the last, you know, 15 to 20 years. And he's really has become sort of this legendary figure, probably some of it by dint of how long he's lived. I mean, you know, 89. Had he died at 70, maybe not so much. But he's been able to do a lot in his later career, he's written these books. He wrote a book about his friendship with Leonard Nimoy. They had not been speaking for several years when Nimoy passed away. So we talked about before about him, you know, not getting along with some people. I think it was a love hate relationship with Leonard Nimoy for most of their adult life. He did consider him his quote unquote brother, but they fought a lot and they had their disagreements. And so, yeah, you know, when you live a public life like that in the public eye and you're such a high profile figure, little things like that, well, not so much little things, those kind of events are going to cause people to judge you whether you like it or not. And, I just hope with this book that I think it's a pretty fair portrayal of his life and his career. And I hope people see it that way. You know, I wasn't out to get him, or I have no axe to grind with William Shatner other than thinking that he's an interesting guy. And he's had quite a career, and he's been in the spotlight now for quite some time.
So where should we send people to get the book? I guess Amazon is a popular one. You got it up for sale on your website or something? Or
It's you can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's in all the bookstores. I have a website, michaelsethstar.com. That's my full name. And I can always help people that if they have questions, I can always answer them that way. But yeah, as far as ordering the book, I would recommend, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the publisher, which is Roman and Littlefield, R-O-W-M-A-N and Littlefield. You know, it's so easy now to you know, before the internet, you're like, oh, I got to go to the bookstore. And now you just, you know, one click.
Go to Amazon.
You can buy it.
So, guys, the book is called Shatner. It's in bookstores now. It's on Amazon. Michael Starr, biographer, guys. So if you, any of those people sound interesting to you, check it out. Mike, thanks for spending some time with us, hanging out. It was fun. We should do it when the next one comes out.
Oh, thank you for having me. This is a lot of fun. I appreciate you having me on the show.
No problem. Take care, bud.
Thanks a lot, Michael.
All right, take care. See ya.
See ya. Hey, Travis. Mike's a nice guy, right?
It's funny, is like, what do you spend so much, like you said, that you spend so much time with some of these people, you know, like when you're almost living their life. When you're writing a biography of somebody, you're almost living through their entire life.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
I can't imagine how many different biographies a person could write before they start to fucking freak out mentally about all, you know, all the different lives that they've experienced, you know, through their research. Yeah. Yeah. Like Michael Starr, I enjoy Michael Starr, and you know, I don't know. I don't know if I care about somebody so much that I could, you know, deep dive into their life like that.
I'm going to write the book on. I'm going to write the book on Matt.
Jesus,
what?
Yeah, I used to be, when I was like a kid, like, you know, there would be musical artists that I would become fond of, obsessed with, you know, whatever. But now there's nobody that I'm that interested in.
Matt, I'll tell you what. I have a book worthy tale. I don't know. It's late. Should we wait till next week, guys? I was on the news last night.
I don't know. It's up to you.
Matt,
I feel like this is a pretty solid show. Let Matt decide.
Matt, I was on the news last night, Matt.
You were on the news last night. That's true.
Man, this could be a thing. This could extend us a good solid half hour.
You're right. The story itself, Matt, is insane.
Should we save it for next week, Matt?
I mean, honestly, this could be an entire half of a show.
Honestly, just tweet out a link to the news story. Matt, I think the news did a good job covering it. So just tweet that link out, Mike. I think I covered it.
Matt. I mean, we did a half hour on Wienermobiles and energy drinks.
I tried setting you up at the beginning.
Yeah, we just forgot all about.
Drunk did immediately bring this up.
I teed you up right at the beginning of the show.
I wanted to
more
save
of this
it
later.
Save it for what?
Remember when Travis asked that one follow up question to Mike? I mean,
guys, looking back, saving it was a mistake.
Yeah, I should have did it right away.
Maybe we'll save it for a Dirty 30 Patreon.
Oh, no. This is prime stuff, Drunk.
Yeah, prime.
This,
isn't you have to pay
the
for
kind
it.
Of story
premium
that'll get people interested in donating to the Patreon.
Travis.
I mean, they'll have to.
It's a sweet, sweet tease.
Travis, should I tease people and let them hear like the first 10 seconds of the production I made for this?
Do you want to blow it or do you want to save it? It's up to you.
Mike, Rochelle wants to know if we should send back the candle money.
Hey, I thought I was getting one of those fucking candles.
Old buddy
by the way.
Mike was on the local news last night.
Oh,
well,
like the end.
My blurred out face was. All right, guys. So next week.
When I tried to tee you up for it this week at the beginning of the fucking show.
Immediately when he introduced us, Drunk's like, so you were on the news last night, huh, Mike?
Oh, and we'll
more
get
on that later. Oh, Mike, but you did this. Yep, more on that later.
Yeah, and we'll get to it later. Yeah, great tease, buddy.
Matt, looking back, saving it
instead
for later.
Instead, what do you guys think about racing Wienermobile?
Matt, you know, this is a lesson to be learned. It's funny.
I had this great idea to start an all-soda fast food.
You know, Drunk,
$1.19.
So 10 years into the show, and we're still learning lessons every week, you know?
Yeah. When your good buddy Drunk tries to tee you up for something that you have free fucking pre-programmed into your sound box, you should probably...
smoke that ball. ball immediately.
And the fucked up thing is, Travis, like, the production I made says... yesterday, and so like I can't play that next week, it'll be outdated. I gotta redo the whole thing.
Yeah. Oh, no, nobody will know whether or not it was yesterday or not.
So what'd you get for being a
well they
that?
Will if they listen to this. We talked about well, how I mean, it was yesterday.
Now they will. They'll forget by next week. It's, Matt, who's got the attention span?
Matt, do you
$1.19 for a soda also the amount of Mike's inheritance?
I'm cutting that out. Matt, do you have a pick of the week? Something you want the people to know about? It's not every day, Travis, that you're on the news, you know? It's fun.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm a local really celebrity. I'm sure that people recognized me.
I've been on the news a couple times.
Have you?
I have.
For the same reason as me?
No, no, no. Drunk's always at those goddamn St. Patrick's parties and shit.
Hey, guys,
I scream.
Let's fuck some whores. Yep. No, Matt, pick of the week. Matt, pick of the week, buddy.
Well,
yeah, and in the chat, Liquid says, I'm sure this story is evergreen. No worries. Liquid doesn't even care. He'll be here next week.
I'm going to tell you something right now. The story is pretty fascinating.
I don't know how deep I can go into it, Matt.
Or is it?
No, we're already past time. It's time to go. Bye-bye.
Or is it?
Dun, dun.
That's Matt, like Dateline.
Matt, pick of the week. You sold some candles, Matt.
Yeah, what's the
you know, I was very naysay about Matt's candles.
Morrison.
Matt
Morrison.
Sold a ton of candles, like in the first 20 minutes it was up. I was touched in a way, Matt. I was touched.
Well, and you know what's super funny about that is he didn't even make that many candles.
Mm-mm. No, I'm going to have to make more candles. I think we had... Oh, no, I don't think I have to make any more. How many did we sell?
We sold...
22.
Six.
Okay. So,
Rochelle asked you... If
so, now I won't get one because one extra person bought one.
No, you'll definitely get one. I actually think we have enough to get the candles out to everybody.
So she feels bad for me, Matt. She wants to send the candle money back.
Yeah, yeah.
Not you,
right? Rochelle was kind of like, "Oh, maybe we should, get that. Maybe we should."
Is it because I Snapchat that I was drinking last night?
You guys no, I mean, feel she bad? Just knows this. She feels right. bad for what
let's,
happened.
Come on. Let's move on. Pick of the week.
Travis, I was on the news.
Yeah. We'll
Matt,
talk
pick
about
of the week.
Week.
Nobody's doing a pick of the week. Are we just ending the show? Is the show over?
Yeah. It's over.
No After picks of the week.
Picks of the week, we're never doing it again.
We're done with picks of the week. Show's over.
Drunk's pick.
We're done with the show.
Of the week is Canadian Wienermobiles.
Woo! Woo!
Song off. I have a pick of the week.
Travis, pick of the week.
Oh, Matt, you got one?
Brain Pain by 4 Years Strong.
Okay.
Really good album.
Travis's pick of the week this week is a free for all you cheap fuckers out there.
Woo!
It's on YouTube and not even YouTube Red or Premium or whatever they call it.
Well,
it's called The Boy Band Con, the story of Ron Perlman.
Oh, you know what? That used to be on YouTube Red, and I had Joe steal it so that I could watch it.
YouTube torrent.
I watched that like a year ago, Travis. It was great.
This thing is amazing. If you're all familiar with Ron Perlman, he is the guy who put together the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC.
I do remember Mike asking Joe to torrent that like a year ago.
Yeah. Well, whatever. It's free now, so I don't give a shit. But
right. And the Super Size Me 2 that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, that's free on YouTube now, too.
That's on Amazon Prime. If you don't have Amazon Prime, you are the worst, cheapest.
I actually torrent my Amazon Prime, too. So,
well, no, you borrow it. I don't care if you share accounts.
Yeah, pick of the week is Shatner by Michael Starr. Picks of the week are done.
Guns out, funds out.
Fucking cocksuckers. What are my shoes?
1964, walking down the street, knock upon my baby door. My baby, come out and ask me who I am. I say, honey, honey, don't you know you're a man? She said, my man been gone since 1942. I tell you, Mr. Ugly,
of good stuff happening. It's going to be juicy. You'll see. All right. Bye for now. Take good care of yourself.